Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Bigamax Radio Podcast. I am your host, Brad Gebhardt, and this is an episode of Amateur Hour. With me on the podcast, a repeat offender. He's been on the podcast before, but it's been a while. He was on Supermanies before. Now he's on big bikes. We've had big changes in life, and we're adjusting to that. Dakota Baker, welcome back to the podcast.
Hello, hello, hello.
Dude, super stoked to have you on. You're a kid who keeps to, every time I see you, you're going faster, you're getting bigger, you're getting stronger. Loretta's, we saw you on the little bike. So like, I believe that was basically your last like big race on a super mini, correct?
Yeah, correct.
And then now it's all big bikes all the time. So let's spin the clocks back a little bit, leading into like, I guess after, spring nationals, rolling into Loretta's. Tell me a little bit about your prep and, just sort of finishing off that phase of your amateur career.
Yeah, I mean, just was down at SSR last year, training with Steven and just putting in the hours every day, working out, just trying to do my best I can. And I got to Loretta's and I guess it paid off.
No kidding. Yeah, you were had some good starts. It really looked like you had really come into your own, and you find that a lot of times, especially when kids are spending their last year on super minis, and you could probably attest to this as well. There's sometimes where kids that they grow at the wrong time. So they sort of miss the mark a little bit. They almost become a little bit too big for that bike, just as they're kind of able to start throwing it around. You're a pretty small guy in general. I'm sure you'll do some growing because you're only what, 16?
Yeah.
So you got a bit to do some growing. As you now moved on to the big bikes, but it seemed like the super mini, like it really fit you this year, if not just maybe a little bit big on it, which allowed you to really just basically put the bike wherever you needed it to be.
Yeah, I was definitely a little tall on it. I felt like that kind of put me down on my starts throughout the week, and then just had a couple bad first motos there, so it kind of just mental thing throughout the week, but.
So when it comes to Loretta's, like that's a 20-minute moto. And for those who haven't experienced 20 minutes wide open on a small displacement two-stroke, like in a lot of ways, like you don't have a lot of time because there's a lot of fast guys out there. But a guy like yourself with a special set of skills, like even if you don't get the best of starts, you know that if you put your head down and put in the work, by the time the checkered flag flies, you might find yourself at the front of the pack.
Yeah, for sure. And everybody there is so close to speeds. It's gnarly coming through the pack, and definitely could find yourself with a pack, but it's really hard.
Awesome.
Because everyone's so close in speeds.
So you've been working closely with Steven Squire for a long period of time. We're going to get to touching on that a little bit later on. What are some of the things that he's instilled in you that whether you're working with him one-on-one or if you're just able to sort of like put in your own motos and work on some drills, what are some things that you always kind of keep into common practice so you can keep those good habits as well as just sort of the things that you're constantly working on?
Mostly just like my technique, like balls of the feet, elbows up, attack position. I mean, I feel like if you're wanting to ride by yourself, like you can log laps by yourself, but it's definitely good to have someone there every day, like working on with your form and everything helps me a lot.
Definitely. Practicing with purpose will definitely shave some seconds off your lap time. So, like as you said, kind of off the rip here, Loretta's was basically the final coup de grace of you riding super minis. I'd imagine shortly thereafter. In fact, probably before you left, your old man probably had a few of those things for sale. Like maybe we don't even take them home with us. But you had already started dabbling with some with the 250 for a little while prior to that as well. I've seen some footage of you on the 250 for it's coming almost on a year now.
Yeah, no, I got the 250 this like a couple weeks before this year at Loretta's.
Oh, okay.
And I rode it one day like a week before Loretta's, and my dad told me I'm not allowed to ride it no more because he doesn't want me getting like liking that thing a lot.
Yeah.
So I rode it for like half a day at the end of the day, just messed around on it, and then right after Loretta's, took a week off, and then never touched a little bike again.
Fair enough. Like actually that's like surprising to hear. I guess that's like it actually kind of affirms one of the thought processes that I had, because I know like and someone that you're most likely going to spin some laps with quite often in the near future is Caleb Wood,
Oh,
who
yeah.
we know he spends a lot of time on a 250. I was down there at the Shoals last year at New Year's, and he spent more time on a 250 than he did on his Super Mini, which is not a bad thing until you realize that he still has to compete on a Super Mini. And like you know what it feels like to ride both bikes. Once you get on that big bike with the longer wheelbase and the bigger wheels and more suspension and more capable engine, it makes it difficult to go back to the small displacement, smaller machine. They pack a punch, but not quite like a 250 yet.
Yeah, it's funny that you're talking about Caleb Wood because this last weekend I went down to the Verb Classic, and a couple of days before that we went to the Shoals, and it was at the end of the day, and everyone was sitting there, and Caleb was like, "Well, I guess I got to go ride my Super Mini now," and everyone started laughing because like he likes the 250 so much more. And then
Of course.
actually he raced Saturday on the Super Mini and told his parents he's done on the Super Minis, and then raced 250 Sunday.
There you go. Yeah, I think of what Super Minis were still left to ride, because I think he melted down a couple of them after wrapping up his GNCC title. So let's talk a little bit about the Verb Classic. It is a race that you've done a number of times in the past. You were a hired gun. Which is for those who don't know, sort of the hired gun process and sort of that sort of the distinction. Take people through it a little bit, and honestly, what an honor it is to be approached by a company like Verb to basically fly the flag for them for the weekend.
Yeah, it was a really cool opportunity. Basically, a hired gun is someone that they bring in to is which is technically you're the guy to beat. So they bring you in, you get a bib, everything. You go down, you take some cool pictures, get your bib, got a pretty sick cup. Yeah, it's a really, really, really cool opportunity for the people that don't get to do it. Really special.
So you went ahead and did that, and I took a quick peek at some results, and you never had a moto outside the top five. So
No,
take us through
no.
the weekend a little bit, man.
Yeah, Saturday, I kind of like was decent. Like I was still top fives, but I couldn't put my motos together. I was kind of just like I wasn't riding the best, like my form and everything, just not riding, dabbing my feet a lot. And then Sunday, dude, I got the 5 out of the 6 hole shots. Led so many laps and just literally everything was perfect. Ended up going 1-1 in Schoolboy 2, which is a
No big
class I was
deal.
a hired gun in.
Yeah.
So it was a really, really, really sick race.
So being a hired gun for that particular class, does that add some confidence rolling to the line, or does that put on a little bit of pressure that, hey, I got the bib on, I'm supposed to produce, I have to, I guess. Zero
Yeah.
option mentality.
It definitely is a lot of big pressure because I won the first moto in Schoolboy 2, and sitting on the gate for moto 2, everyone's there. You're like, shoot, man, I gotta win this because Trinity Batchers, he went 2-2, and he's definitely someone really good, top 5 to Loretta's in the
Yeah.
125 class. So
And been on big bikes for a while now.
yeah, he's been on 125s and 250s for a minute, so it's pretty sick that I was able to do that.
So I did get a couple of questions from Steven that I literally canvassed towards him just moments before you jumped on this. He asks, how excited are you to get there next week? Sounds like you'll be training at the Shoals as recently as, I don't know, a week from now.
Yeah, I'm just excited because I get a mini house down there. It's gonna be sick. It's like a little storage, like shipping
You might be
container.
living
So
in the mini house that I lived in for New Year's last year.
yeah, it's like a little white storage unit or like
Yeah.
shipping container. It's
Ezra?
pretty sick. The bathroom's sick.
Yeah, no, dude, I broke that place in for you. It's a nice little spot.
Yeah.
You'll be styling and profiling. On a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you miss working with Steven?
I miss him a lot. He definitely got me to where I am today. 100% definitely got me to where I am today. And
That's
I'm so excited. I keep telling my dad, when are we going to go to the shoals? When are we going back down there? And he just keeps telling me he doesn't know. And I'm like eager to get back down there and ride.
fair enough. Well, it sounds like you guys are going to do some serious work together. And with the SSR experience in the rearview mirror, what is the best PG story that you can share? I'm concerned as to why there are non-PG stories that exist, but give me a PG one.
I don't know. There's some funny ones like out on the track, Steven just like getting mad at you and like doing some stuff. It's really funny. And then like
Take your
especially
seat
Fourth of
away.
July. Fourth of July is so fun there, like fireworks,
Okay.
everything. It's really sick.
Okay, well, it sounds like you'll be looking forward to New Year's at the Shoals, and I will most likely be there keeping Cody Groves in line, which is impossible. I'll maybe pass that responsibility off to you, and you can just go to bed early, and Cody will do what Cody does. Switching things over to the four strokes, big bikes, it's a huge transition. What was that sort of process like for you? You said you wrote it prior to Loretta's, but you didn't really put some serious time on it until afterwards. Did you sort of set some small goals for yourself, like each day, these are some drills that I want to be able to conquer, or I want to be able to like have this amount of proficiency? How did it all break down for you?
Yeah, it was definitely like focusing on like the form and technique to start off with because I mean it's a bigger bike, heavier, I'm smaller on it, so if something goes wrong, it's two times as worse. Like I could get hurt or something could happen. So I definitely focused on my form and my technique and then just every day trying to build that and get faster.
So you being like obviously new to the bike as well as like I said like small in stature because you're 16 years old for Fruit
Yeah.
Six, I would imagine that our friends over at Race Tech, my buddy Checkers, most likely get the bike balanced for you. Who's your Race Tech dealer that gets you all figured out?
Guy at SSR, he works with Racetech. It's Rival Suspension. His name's
Okay.
Steve Martin. He's a really, really, really cool dude. Gets my suspension dialed in, gets right to it whenever I need it, and yeah, he's my guy.
Excellent service, and with Racetech, you're always going to get excellent products. The gold valves are basically a revalve in a box, and if it can hold a guy like me up, damn near 200 pounds on a 300 two-stroke, certainly can handle whatever thing you're going to throw at it. First thing that you notice getting on big bikes, like with the extra spinning mass, did it surprise you a little bit of how quickly you were able to start throwing the bike around a little bit?
Yeah, and it definitely surprised a lot of people. We were down at SSR, and I don't know if you know Nate Hummel. He was down there training with us, and even his dad was like, "Dang, man, Dakota's already like, he's fast. He's way faster than what I thought." That definitely like motivated me a lot. So it's really cool, and just guess got to keep pushing.
Definitely. So you're working on form, you're working on technique. Where do you feel like you might have some holes in your game right now? Like, what are your things? Where are some, if you do get beat, where's a spot where like, whether is it your starts? Is it coming into corners? Is it like staying low over jumps? Is it the whole package? Like, you have to just like kind of take some small increments everywhere. Or is there something glaring that you're aware of and you need to work on it?
Yeah, definitely like especially when that gate drops, you kind of like forget about, or at least me, I kind of forget about everything I work on in training. So
Okay.
I think like whenever the gate drops, I need to back it down a little bit and just use everything I put like through in training out on the track.
Fair enough.
I think that'll
So
help me a lot.
definitely. So like you go to the track with your dad more often than not, correct?
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about that dynamic. Father and son heading in the track. Like what are like some responsibilities he puts upon you? What are some of the things that you sort of look to him to sort of support you throughout the day? And like what, give me an example of a time that he got under your skin and give me an example of a time you got under his.
I'm trying to think. He definitely tells me a lot before I go out and ride. Like whenever I'm sitting on the gate, just he literally just says form, just that puts it in my head, work on my form while I'm out there, fix my form if I need to. I'm trying to think of a time he's got on to me. I mean, shoot, I don't know. I'm trying to think. There's definitely a lot.
I mean, if you're on top of your form, then he doesn't have any reason to get after you, yeah?
Yeah, I guess, yeah. But yeah, I guess there's really nothing. He just tells me before I go out to work, like use my form that I do in training, and I'll be fine.
Fair enough. Well, wait until you start eating up some of those clutches on the 250s, and then and the parts bill comes. Dad might get on you a little bit here and there. But so, like, Ponca City was basically your full race on a 250. I think maybe I wouldn't say you want a do-over, but take it with a grain of salt because it's your first time going full big bike all the time in an event like that. What are some takeaways that, like, obviously some things you need to work on, as well as some things that did go your way?
Yeah, I don't like at Ponca, I rode good, but definitely the form. My last moto, I came over the finish line and there was a braking bump after. I wasn't squeezed or anything, and I hit it the first lap and it threw me over the bars, rung my bell pretty good. So definitely work on my form. I definitely. I don't know,
Just
man.
in that moment, you just like you said earlier, you sort of just like shut your brain off and forget to work on some stuff.
Yeah.
Maybe that's a case in point moment where you just sort of like wasn't thinking about the task at hand and it bit you. And I think that's a lesson for everybody learning as well.
Yeah, for sure. And it's hard when there's like kids right next to you, especially on the first lap, you're battling with kids, and it just little things can happen really fast.
Fair enough. So who are some of the personal sponsors that you have that are sort of supporting you, whether it's gear, like some of the like relationships that you've built with sponsors over the last few years? You're wearing a Race Tech hat for those who are listening to the audio version of this podcast. Who are some of the companies that you've built really good relationships over the last little while?
Yeah, definitely Race Tech, obviously. They get the suspension dialed in. Fly Racing, the gear's sick. Help keeping me look really good out there. Dougie, over at 511. Mica Metals. Just there's a lot of people that help me. Dan and Rachel down at Hostile Max, Mo Tool, Sean Morris over there. He's a really cool dude.
Nice.
Yeah, now everybody, there's a lot of people help me get to where I am.
Have you
Really
seen a lot
thankful.
of the 25 fly stuff? That's pretty
I'm
cool.
hoping to get some. It's really sick.
Heck yeah. You just gotta bug is it well you could bug JT. Honestly, if you bug Jason Thomas, he'd probably float you some stuff. But yeah, it sounds like you're gonna be putting some laps in a serious way down at the Shoals. So, yeah, you're gonna need some gear to keep up with that. Like obviously Steven Squire being one of the main reasons to go train with those guys, but what excites you about riding at a place like the Shoals? Like, in my opinion, it's a no-nonsense spot where guys still have a lot of fun riding their motorcycles. You were around Caleb this last weekend. Those guys, like, they put in the work, but they also have fun doing it in that same process. Is that an environment you think you're going to thrive in?
Yeah, I definitely, the 2 days I was down there, I liked it a lot, and I just want to go there and stay there. I mean, the place is sick. Everyone there is super nice. Steven especially, his whole family's very nice. His kids are funny. The place is massive, dude. There's eight tracks, so you're on a
Yeah.
different track every day. There's sand tracks, supercross tracks, which I'm just getting into supercross. I have a supercross bike, so hopefully be able to ride that this winter. And yeah, dude, the place is sick.
Certainly. So, and it's good for you to be able to put some time on Supercross this year, because I would imagine like this year you're 16, next year 17, possibly due next year. Like, for those who don't know, there's only a certain number of spots per manufacturer for the Supercross futures. So you being a KTM kid, and that, like, who knows, that may change in the coming years. Like, how do you sort of approach that scenario or that situation, talking to the different manufacturers of who you might represent, or who might give you the opportunity to ride futures in the future?
Well, Dan and Rachel call up down at SSR. They actually own the Ty Lube Racing team,
Okay.
so they're definitely someone that could help me get down into the future, the Supercross futures. And then Sean Morse, I don't know if you know him,
Yeah,
but
no, I'm familiar.
he knows a lot of people. So definitely, I have some people that could help me do that, and I'm looking forward to it.
So your experience so far on Supercross, I'm sure you've probably spun some laps on a Super Mini. Have you put any time on a 250 on a Supercross track yet? How'd that go?
It was really good. It's really fun. Definitely a lot easier on a big bike than it is a
Oh,
little
yeah.
bike. But yeah, I rode Supercross like 2 days last week before we left for the Classic. And
Right.
I was pretty good at it. I mean, hitting the triple ends, doing the rhythms, hitting the whoops, hitting the on-offs.
Did you
And
do the super motocross finals thing last year at
no.
Chicago? No?
No, I
Okay.
did not. No.
That would have been badass. Although
I know.
from the it in theory it would have been badass, but then I watched the during that race, and I think the vision would have been not awesome. So it turned out to be, like, if you remember that race, it was a carnage. You had like a bunch of guys going down, Vincent Way going over the bars, Canyon Richardson having to race like 20, like 18 hours later, going ass over tea kettle. That was not ideal either. But yeah, still would have been cool to experience something like that. Did you ever do like KJSC or anything like that growing up?
No, I did not. I mean, the only really like Supercross I've done, like racing, is Mini-Os, and I've done some arena cross, but that's really it.
Fair enough, fair enough. Any plans for some arena cross in your winter plans?
I don't really think so. I think probably just train pro Supercross down at the Shoals and get decent at that, and then probably go to the do futures.
Fair enough, fair enough. Yeah, like you think there's a possibility for futures this year, or would that be a 2026 deal?
Probably in 2026.
Fair
I
enough.
don't think I'm that ready
Not ready.
to do
Well,
that quite
hey,
yet.
confidence can go a long way, my friend. When you saw, is it Carter Gray and Jaden Smart down, like, doing the, like, on 65s, jumping the finish line? Like, it wasn't that long ago you were on 65s. Could you imagine yourself jumping those jumps on a 65 or what?
I don't think I would. Them kids are
No.
nuts. They're
That
definitely
was
really crazy,
no
especially
kidding.
jumping the Supercross triple last year
Yeah.
on 65s.
That is bonkers. So, like, when you were down at the Shoals, was Jaden down there as well? Because I know he's been spending some time there.
No, he wasn't, but
Okay.
he was down at the he was at the Verb Classic, hung out with him. He's a really, really, really nice kid.
Yeah, super nice kid.
But I think he's there now, so.
Yeah. Same thing with like Maverick or like Gresham Lewis and all those guys doing that, and all the Instagram posts that come along with doing that. You and social media, like, I feel like you have maybe a little bit of love hate with social. Like, you like it's something you have to do, but I don't know, is it something that comes natural to you, or is it something you kind of have to break out of your shell a little bit?
I mean, my dad runs like my Instagram and everything.
Fair.
Yeah, he does all that, and then like the TikTok side, I do that. I kind of know how to like post the videos and make them like go viral a little bit.
Your dad's like,
So,
yeah, I need you to learn this dance.
no, I don't do
You
all
gotta learn this
that.
TikTok dance real quick after you've done your motos. That's dope, dude. So what's like, aside from training down at the Shoals, unless that is the entire full plan right now, what's the next time we're gonna see you on a gate drop?
I don't know. Probably if there is any local races down there, do some of those. But I wish I could do Mini-Os, but all my classes are already full. The sign up was so early, we had no
Yeah.
idea, so no one went to sign up. All the classes were full.
That's a
But
good problem to have for those guys running the race. But Not so much if you were late to the signups.
Yeah.
Dakota Baker here on the Big MX Radio podcast. This has been fun, dude. I'm looking forward to coming down to the Shoals and spending some time. I'm excited to see what you're able to come up with while you're down there. Before we let you go, thank a few more sponsors for us, as well as your parents, and we'll let you get on with the rest of your evening.
Yeah, I'd give like my mom and dad definitely, they help me out the most. They give me this opportunity. Rival Suspension Racetech, as I said, Fly Racing, Motul at Sean Morris, Scott Goggles, Moto Muck for helping my bike stay fresh out there, Motul.
We have a list now. We have a list
Yeah,
in
we
front
have
of
a
you now.
list. I don't know how to get down to it. It's not working, but yeah, just everybody. It's a really cool opportunity to come on here and talk to you. So
Thanks,
yeah,
buddy.
no problem.
Awesome,
And
man. Well, do not hang up just yet. But for podcast sake, we're going to cut things off.